Hey guys, this is Robert Rochelle with D3VB West, and this is the national wrap-up. What I want to do with this podcast, and actually it may turn into a two-parter because I've got a lot of information here, is kind of go over the national scene, look at the top 25, look at the upsets that happened over the weekend, look at maybe some of the interesting matches that occurred, and come kind of look at the new top 25 that I put together and that I've already put out on my website. So the first thing I want to look at are the upsets that occurred, or really how overall the top 25, the AVCA top 20, preseason top 25 did. And the first thing I typically do on the week is I look at the top 25 and I kind of go down the significant wins and any losses that may have occurred. And so I'm looking at basically three sheets of paper in front of me that I put together. And there are 15 teams out of the AVC top 25 that had at least one loss. And we've got two teams that have actually lost three times. That was Aurora and Illinois Wesleyan. Washington St. Louis, along with Juniata, are the only teams to appear in the final poll since it started in 1992. Every single year. And what we saw this past weekend is actually Washington St. Louis lost twice. So not sure there's really any reason for them to appear this week in the poll. But if I was a betting man, I would expect that they'll probably hang on to 24th or 25th place. But although we haven't gotten to my poll yet, little spoiler, they did not make it. So again, like I said, I was looking at three pages of the top 25, the significant wins, the significant losses. 15 teams all have losses. That's pretty incredible for the first weekend. Either the ABC's really bad, I'm really bad because my top 25 didn't fare much better, we've got some teams that are stepping up, and we've got some teams that are typically pretty good that are maybe not as good as we thought. So what I want to do is I want to look at, again, some of the upsets. We'll start with, I don't know if it's really an upset, but there was a really good tournament over at Christopher Newport. And what was interesting there was that we had number 22 Christopher Newport actually upset number 3 Juniata in 5 sets. Now, you know, the other things that happened at that tournament, we had Eau Claire there, number 4 Eau Claire. They ended up beating Christopher Newport. And just to make things, you know, really confusing, Juniata then swept Eau Claire. So when I put my top 25 together, that was kind of one of the little areas that was a little bothersome. Do I ding all those teams or do I do something else with it? I ended up kind of trying to group those teams and try to meet somewhere in the middle, although maybe closer to the where Juniata was than where Christopher Newport was. We also saw number 5, Claremont Mud Scripps CMS, go down to Augsburg, or to lose to Augsburg in 5 sets. I'm actually kind of kicking myself for not ranking Augsburg in my preseason poll. It's one of those teams that I kind of overlooked initially. I mean, I had them written down, but I didn't really focus enough on them. And, you know, kind of kicking myself for that, but another spoiler, I kind of fixed that in my week 1 top 25. Now, CMS, I'm a little closer to the West region. I know they're dealing with an injury to their middle, Melanie Moore. I know they've also got another injury. Not really at liberty to discuss that one, but you know, we've got a number of teams that will have injuries out there, some of which I know, most of which I do not know. What disturbed me a little bit about this match was I was able to catch the last set and a half of it, and you know, Claremont really kind of looked like they had regressed to their 2018 level, and it's all relative. When I say they regressed to their 2018 level, that's really, really good, but it's not a level that's going to win you a national champion, which is where I had them picked. Now, I don't think that's going to continue, but it's certainly something to watch. One little note about Augsburg was that they had 11 aces in the match. So they were serving tough. And Izzy Barr, accounted for six of those. So pretty decent output there. The next upset we want to look at is number six, Wittenberg. They actually, in their first match, went down and played Transylvania and lost in four sets. What's interesting about this one, Transylvania hit 577 in the first set with no attacking errors, and actually hit 231 for the entire match. And they had five players that had double digits in digs. So a pretty good offensive and defensive performance by Transylvania in that one. Now, I kind of solicit input on my website from readers, and I actually heard from a couple, Flash in the Pan and Tiger Ball, and they were both letting me know that Wittenberg is missing Aubrey Cox, and she's probably going to be out for the next two or three weeks, and that's certainly a huge loss for them. And they're also incorporating a number of underclassmen. And really, I kind of mentioned it on the website in a comment, but that's really kind of the theme from the first week, is that we've got a lot of injuries, and we've got a lot of teams that are really, really young. It's just seems younger than the last couple of years where I've really been following this. So we'll see if that continues. Hopefully the injuries won't. Moving on, number seven, Colorado College, playing at home at the Reed Center. They don't lose there. And I was a little worried about the Oshkosh match that they were going to play on Saturday, the last match for them. And then what happens is Clarkson comes in there and beats them in five sets. So another case, I know Colorado College, they had a slew of injuries. They had one really important one prior, and then they had two or three, I think it was three, during the match. So stuff happens, but at the end of the day, they couldn't pull it out. All the credit in the world to Clarkson. What's interesting about this one is that Colorado College actually had more total points, kills, blocks, assists, and digs, but still couldn't win that one. Moving on to another top 10 team, number 9, Chicago, hosting their own tournament. They played Stevens Point, and Point actually beat them, swept them in three. And in none of those three games could Chicago get past 21 points. Point ended up hitting 235 for the match. And what's also interesting is Stevens Point, who I actually had ranked in my top 25, was later swept by UT Dallas. So they went out, they played two teams that I had ranked, DePaul and Chicago, and beat them, but then got tripped up by UT Dallas. But still, another interesting result. Number 10, Aurora, probably had the worst weekend. They actually lost three times to Gustavus Adolphus, Elmhurst, and Heidelberg. Obviously, they're not in my top 25. I'll be extremely disappointed if the AVC still keeps them in theirs. Moving on, we had number 11. This was kind of a minor upset. They were playing number 19, Barry, and they ended up losing in five sets. And that match actually was a reverse sweep for Barry. They dropped the first two games before sweeping the final three. What really stood out in that one is that Barry had 19 aces and 17 service errors. So it really does appear that the pressure serve is going to be a large part of the Vikings game this year. Barry also had 13.5 total blocks for the match. So that's a huge pressure serve blocking team. And it worked well against number 11, Ithaca. Moving on, we had number 14, Washington St. Louis. I kind of mentioned them before. They ended up losing twice. Not a really good showing. They lost to Hendricks, and they lost to North Park. So, again, I just don't see how they could be in a top 25 with those two losses. And then to finish off the upsets, another kind of a minor one, but a significant one in the West is Mary Hardin Baylor, who was at number 15. They ended up losing twice to number 17 Trinity, and then losing to number 25 St. Benedict. So, I mean, you could look at it and say, hey, maybe they're all pretty close in talent, but you know, I expected a little bit more from the crew. It didn't happen, and just, you know, another case where we had a couple upsets there for Mary Hardin Baylor. The next thing I wanted to talk about was just a couple selected matches that I pulled. These went according to rankings. but I thought they were interesting. The first one is Emory, number one Emory versus number eight Johnson & Wales, Rhode Island. This was down in Emory. They were hosting the Emory Classic. Emory won in four sets. What's a little interesting to me is that Johnson & Wales, at the end of the year, is going to lead the nation in hitting percentage because, well, first, they're pretty darn good, but second, the competition that they play isn't the greatest. And what was interesting was that against Emory, they hit 080, which is not going to get it done. And honestly, for this team, that's just the kiss of death, because when they go up against the top teams, they tend to regress in the hitting percentages. And when they play other teams, they have a huge hitting percentage. So it's really something that they're going to have to really figure out when they go up against these top 10, top 15 teams. How can we keep our hitting percentage up? What can we do that against these top teams that are blocking better, that are digging better, and how do we incorporate that when we're playing competition that maybe isn't so good, so that when the NCAA tournament comes around, they're not going to get kicked out in the regional or not get kicked out in the first game of the Elite Eight. It is important to note that in this particular match, in the first set, that Johnson & Wales had five set points. In the first set, but again, they lost that one on their way to losing in four. And then looking at Emory, Leah Saunders for Emory had 21 kills and 25 points for the match in this one. The other selected match that I wanted to look at real briefly was number 2 Calvin going against number 23 Ohio Northern. I really liked Ohio Northern. I had them in my top 25 as well. On this one, they took it on the chin. Calvin took this one in four sets. What's interesting is that Ohio Northern actually won the first set, came out hitting great. They won 26-24, but then they were just plastered in the next two sets by Calvin. And actually, in the first set, they hit 385 in the fourth set, but they still lost that one. So did enough in the first set, obviously, kind of fell back in the next two, and then came out guns blazing in the fourth, but Calvin still held them off while hitting at a lower hitting percentage than Ohio Northern did. Just like we looked at that the Barry performance earlier, Calvin had 15 aces in this one with 11 service errors. So another team that's really breaking out the pressure serve, and obviously it worked well with them in this one. As a little side note, has nothing to do necessarily with the way the games are being played. I've noticed when I've gone through a number of these box scores that I'm seeing, a number of people using the block solo and not using the block assist column. Not really sure why that is. I can only assume that when a tandem block goes up that they're assigning the block to one or the other. I'm not really sure how they do that, but I hope that's what they're doing, or otherwise the block statistics are really out of whack. But I've definitely seen that on probably, I think, four or five box scores just from the first week alone. So anyways, that's kind of part one. I wanted to break this up because I've got a little bit more to say, and I didn't want to have a 30-minute podcast. So I want to kind of look at some of the important regional matches that occurred in week one. And then I want to look at the new top 25 that I put out today. And then do maybe a briefly look at the matches, the important matches, the important tournaments that are going to happen this week. And you'll get that in part two. So hope you'll run that one as well. And as always, I hope you visit me at d3vbwest.com. Thanks, guys.